Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. This is Advanced, your window on the world, as we discuss interesting things in present life and history. And today, we're going to continue and do the last lesson of Chicago history. Chicago history and the part that jazz has to replay some of the things that happened a long time ago. And this is Doris, and we also have
Ruth
and Campbell.
So stay tuned now, everybody. And if you have your magazine, open it up so we can finish the lesson. We've done 3 days. This is our third day on the subject. But today is going to be a little different, isn't it, Ruth?
It is. And I was going to say, Doris, I bet you've been waiting excitedly for this last day because we're going to finally find out the jazz connection.
Well, you like jazz too, Ruth. And
I do.
Campbell doesn't mind jazz.
No, jazz is great.
Jazz is a good form of music and certainly very American, actually. Mm-hmm. But I always think about people like New Orleans and that area. But Chicago had great jazz beginnings, too, didn't it?
Yes, it did. In fact, the history of jazz is fascinating. It happened in several different cities: New York, New Orleans, St. Louis, Kansas City, Chicago. Different styles of jazz developed in those different places.
Right. And it's still a very popular form of music today. But how is jazz connected to this? It seems like a very strange connection, a jazz connection.
That's right. So for those of you who are joining us for the first time, just a quick review. We're talking about an event that happened in Chicago many, many, many years ago where they reversed the flow of the Chicago River. They discovered some pictures of this event. A musician saw these pictures and decided to compose a jazz symphony.
Right. He was a jazz trumpet player, and when he looked at the pictures, he could hear the music and how he could describe this monumental event with music, jazz.
Right. The jazz connection. And so today, as we start our lesson on that, let's just read a little bit first, and then we can discuss this. So let's take the first column of our lesson today.
The jazz connection. Not everyone, however, would hear jazz when studying these vivid images of a rougher, more rambunctious Chicago of more than a century ago. Jazz, however, stands as the ideal music for this time and place because the turn of the previous century marked the explosive beginnings of jazz in Chicago. Jelly Roll Morton, the first jazz composer, came here from New Orleans as early as 1910. Followed by Joe King Oliver, Louis Armstrong, and a generation of New Orleans artists, making Chicago not only the next jazz capital, but the exporter of the music to the rest of the world. Jazz was brewing in Chicago in the early 1900s, and the sounds that these very people in these pictures were probably hearing were jazz, Davis says. The Mississippi River on the western border of Illinois, of course, played a key role in the development of jazz, with New Orleans musicians working the riverboats that traveled north.
Well, we mentioned that this composer Davis looked at these pictures and heard jazz, but not everyone would probably hear jazz when studying these vivid images. But because he's a Chicagoan, that was the first thing that came to his mind.
Right.
That's true. If you want to do it in music, you could have jazz, but you could almost any kind of music, symphonic music.
Yeah, classical music.
Right.
I don't know, rock music.
Folk music.
Yeah, folk music.
That's true. They could have folk songs about this, but because he's into jazz, it's a jazz orchestra, that's what he thought of. And he studied these very vivid images. Vivid means very moving and very impressive.
Yeah.
Very clear, very sharp.
Very clear, very sharp, very
bright.
Very bright. Something that really evokes an emotion or a reaction from you. Mm-hmm. And I really like this word. These images showed a rougher, more rambunctious Chicago.
Right. Mm.
What a great word.
Right. Yeah. So when we think of Chicago now, we think of a bustling metropolis, a clean city, something that's very polished. But back then, things were a bit more rough, and they were more rambunctious.
To say some of the bad things about Chicago, but one of the rambunctious things was that they had some pretty bad criminals back there in those days that were lots of very famous, well-known for that.
Well, I think everybody has learned about gangsters, and some of the most famous gangsters had their bases in Chicago, because rambunctious gives you the idea of a lot of energy and a lot of movement, and unfortunately a lot of violence and other things as well.
That's true.
It was a pretty rough time.
They had a lot of business and things going on, and that's where the gamblers and the criminals like to...
Yeah, and unfortunately also during that period in American history, you had the problem with alcohol and regulating alcohol, which led to a lot of this criminal activity.
That's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Chicago of more than a century ago, so more than 100 years ago. But we're saying that not everyone would hear jazz, but actually jazz is the perfect kind of music to tell this story, because at the turn of the previous century, there was an explosive beginning of jazz in Chicago.
Because jazz is usually not a calm music. It's a very energetic music. So it also would describe this kind of period of time there. So it was ideal. It was the perfect music to describe it.
Even the names of some of these jazz musicians, I mean, just look at the name, Jelly Roll Morton. I mean, a Jelly Roll, wasn't that a funny name? But, it just gives you an idea that this is kind of a very different type of living, that people didn't have names like Sir Richard or something.
Right.
Jelly Roll Martin. That just sounds like a jazz name, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it does. I mean, it's more informal. It's more descriptive. It's more, it gives you a different kind of picture of the kind of person he must have been.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of
he was from New Orleans, though, but he did move to Chicago, right?
Right, right.
Way back in what,
1910? So I think what's interesting here is that as jazz is developing, as jazz is starting out in Chicago, this is also happening around the same time. So that's why they're saying this is actually a really great way to tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because this reversal of the Chicago River, I think we said, was 1900. And here we have Jelly Roll Morton, the first jazz composer to come to Chicago, came in 1910, so not too much beyond that event. And I do believe Jelly Roll Morton was a pianist, wasn't he?
Yes, right.
Very good one.
Right. And you could have a Louis Armstrong.
Trumpeters.
And don't forget Joe King Oliver. He's another famous
right.
jazz musician.
Right. And Louis Armstrong was a great trumpet player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Jazz musicians, whole generation of these people who went to Chicago, and they made it the next jazz capital. Used to be New Orleans, but then Chicago kind of became the jazz capital. There was Chicago jazz. There's different styles, and people that study different kind of music will hear the differences sometimes.
Right. In fact, you can take courses in college on the history of jazz and how it's developed and the different kinds of musical things that happened in these different centers. And not only did Chicago become the jazz capital, it exported, it sent out this music to the rest of the world.
Well, and they started playing jazz in Paris and places that used to do more classical music. This jazz went all around the world, didn't it?
Right, yeah. So when we talk about the capital of something, we're talking about that, that area is known for this thing, right? And the capital of, maybe we say the movie capital of the world might be Los Angeles.
Or Hollywood.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So or the Broadway capital might be, musical capital might be New York, things like that.
Right. So the word capital can have two meanings. One, that it's the major government center of a country, which is what we usually think of, but also the most important, influential place for some certain thing, like musicals or movies. And I know some cities like to kind of look to see what they can be the capital of to show
that's
their
true.
Importance.
Yeah, that's right. And so jazz was kind of brewing in Chicago. The idea of brewing is not more than cooking, but it's just kind of slowly growing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, I circled this phrase because this is a very good one. It's descriptive to show how something is slowly developing and changing and becoming bigger and greater. We often say the trouble is brewing somewhere. Mm-hmm. That means it's starting out. Or
Correct.
Ideas are brewing.
Well, they brew beer, too, don't mm-hmm. they? Mm-hmm.
And they brew coffee.
Yeah, mm-hmm. brew, right.
Right. So it's interesting that, the next phrase here, it says that the sounds that these very people in these pictures were probably hearing were jazz. Because, again, about the same time that these pictures were taken, that they were building this canal, that this canal opened, you know, jazz was coming more and more, becoming more and more popular. And so as they were doing these things, they were listening to jazz, very likely.
Well, a lot of these people, you know, were workers that worked in the stockyards and the tanneries, and they liked to relax at night, and they'd go to these clubs or pubs and listen to this jazz music. It was kind of more relaxing than, you know, than just probably the regular symphonic style music. It just suited their lifestyle more, didn't it?
Right. It would be more casual and maybe even more interesting to them because mm-hmm. of the different sounds. But another connection was the river itself, because we've talked about the reversal of the river and how it's affected these water flows. Well, the Mississippi runs right along the western border of Illinois, and that's how jazz traveled from New Orleans up to Chicago. These jazz musicians would work on the riverboats.
That's true. And the riverboats had a lot of gambling on them, too. They were places where people would go to relax, listen to music, or sometimes even gamble. But they were kind of famous for all those things, weren't they?
Well, the Mississippi River, it was a great transportation line. So people did travel a lot by boat up and down the river. It was much faster than, of course, there weren't any planes back then. Mm-hmm. And it was much more direct than taking a train.
Can you imagine a time without airplanes?
No.
or time without computers.
Right.
Right. But, you know, they would work the river boats. And when you say they worked the river boats, they played in bands that played on the boats. And mm-hmm. they have a lot of bands now. All these tour boats that go all around the world now, people go on these big cruise ships. Mm-hmm. They all have bands on them, don't they?
You could say the bands are working the ships. That's where they are when they do their
musicians
play their music.
Are still working the ships. Yeah. Right.
So there's several different intertwining connections as to why jazz was chosen as the medium to express this period of time.
It does make sense that you would, you know, but who thought about writing something about it? But this composer did think about it. So this tells us a little bit then that jazz was getting started, business industry, big companies were starting. Chicago was growing a lot during that period of time.
Yes, it was. It was changing. It was becoming more and more important because of the economy of the stockyards and the tanneries, and people were moving to Chicago. And it was just a very exciting, rough, rambunctious time in history.
Right. And we read earlier in the lesson that the whole reason they wanted to reverse the flow was because Chicago was exploding in its development. They wanted to make it into a metropolis, and so they needed to get rid of these diseases.
That's
right.
True.
They wanted to have a better environment for mm-hmm. the city to grow larger.
Right.
So this is really shows us a little bit that Chicago did have this desire to become the center of something. It was a central part in the United States, whereas the West Coast and the East Coast, they had trade going on with Asia, and they had – because they were on the coast. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of the United States, it was not easy. But they were the ones that were the center of all of the different – the farming and the cattle and that the center that way. So they had to have their own distinctive – characteristics
right.
there.
And there was a lot of manufacturing that went on in Chicago as well, which I'm sure also didn't help the river situation.
Right.
Right. And at one time, Chicago had the tallest buildings in the whole world, didn't
mm-hmm.
they?
They sure
mm-hmm.
did.
So they came a long ways from those early days. But this is part of their history. And so as we talk about this today, we're going to finish this lesson today thinking about how this can be shown in music. And I think this has been true in Asia, in China, in every country of the world. They show a lot of history through music. Chinese has always had the beautiful classic operas, mm-hmm. Chinese operas, and they tell a history. Mm-hmm. And people have often used music. And I think it wouldn't be appropriate to tell the history of China in jazz music, but we certainly tell it in Chinese opera.
That's right. But you can tell the history of America with jazz because jazz is an American form of music. And, you know, a lot of emotions and ideas have been expressed in music, and it's fun to listen to it and see if you can get a picture in your mind just by hearing
the
sounds.
Classical music from Wagner and those people in Europe, they showed the conditions of the people and things in time. So music has always been some way to express society, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, and I would be very curious to hear this Chicago River piece, just to hear what he did with it and how he described it with music.
And the emotions that he evoked, that and the emotions that he felt when he was looking at the pictures.
Right. So let's finish reading then today. Let's read the second column.
In planning, I kept saying we had to do something on the Chicago River. I grew up hearing from my father about this amazing engineering feat of the reversal, says Jim Fahey, director of programming for Symphony Center Presents, which commissioned Davis's symphony. I mentioned the river idea, and Davis responded interestedly. The kicker was when this book came out. I thought that would be a great thing to bring to Orbert and ask him to work from. At the very least, Davis will have explored a key moment in history. This is the Chicago story, says Kahn. If not for this, we all wouldn't be here. How fitting that the tale will be told in a music bound up with the meaning of Chicago, jazz.
Well, now we're going to find out about the man who's the director of programming for this Symphony Center, which is probably where they have this orchestra, where its home is. And when he was planning this, he kept thinking or saying that they had to do something on the Chicago River. Mm. And here the word on means about. He wanted something that was about the Chicago River.
Right. So we're not talking about the fact that, you know, they played the symphony on the Chicago River. They're
saying about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're about the Chicago River because he grew up hearing about this story of how they reversed the river.
Right. I guess people in Chicago would hear it. I don't think people in Seattle heard much about it, but Chicago they did.
Well, of course, because it's a major part of their city's history. Mm-hmm. And it really was an amazing engineering feat. And when I think about a feat, I think of something that's very, very difficult to accomplish, something that you can really feel triumphant about.
Remember that feat is F-E-A-T, not F-E-E-T.
That's right. We don't walk on this kind of feat.
That's the trouble with English. So many words sound the same.
That's right. You know,
right. So Jim Fahey wanted some kind of music or something to do with the Chicago River because he wanted to be able to tell the story in music. So he was the one who commissioned the symphony.
That's right. When someone commissions something, they ask someone to create something, right? So we often hear about, you know, in the past, kings commissioned artists to paint portraits of themselves.
And because you kind of wonder, well, why would this trumpet player, you know, all of a sudden say, I'm going to write a symphony about that? And you wouldn't think he would think of it himself. So this kind of solves that question in your mind. You think, how come he decided to do this? Because he was commissioned to.
That's right. So this man who was in charge of the programming at the center thought this would be a great theme or idea for a piece of music. And he probably approached Davis and said, hey, what do you think about this? And then maybe Davis looked at the pictures and went, oh, I can hear the music now.
Yeah, so actually what we find out is that, yeah, that, you know, they had this idea and then all of a sudden this book came out. So the kicker was when this book came out, right? When we talk about the kicker, it's a sudden, surprising turn of events, right? A twist. So they already had this idea, we should do this about the Chicago River. And then all of a sudden, hey, these pictures, wow, let's do it based on this book.
Right. When you think about the kicker, it's something that maybe provides the final piece or the final push to make something happen, too.
Oh, yeah. You can imagine kicking something because it starts at the starting point when it came out. So they thought, well, that would be a great thing to bring to Orbert and ask him to work from that, see? So that was a good idea.
Yeah, it was. So it was a great thing to bring to him and say, hey, this is our idea. Work on it. And then if it didn't work out, he would have had, you know, an interesting idea or it looked at an interesting period of history. But it did work out.
Yeah, at least they will have explored a key moment in history. So to explore means to have investigated, to look into it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And this is a key moment because it changed the whole thing of what happened to Chicago. If Chicago had had all that disease and sickness, it wouldn't have grown. It really did. It changed everything in Chicago.
well, the city would not have been able to develop, and it probably maybe would have even disappeared because the environment would be so bad.
Right. Mm. So it was a key moment. It was, for them, it was very important.
Right. So when we talk about key moments, we talk about important moments in life where, you know, something happened that changed the course of something. You know, for me, moving to Asia was a key moment in my life.
Well, in fact, the people that live there, this is a Chicago story. If it weren't for this, we wouldn't be here.
Right. So in other words, not only this event was the Chicago story, how the city was able to develop and to grow and to become so big. Because as we just said, if they hadn't been able to solve this problem, it wouldn't have. It would have just faded away, probably.
And then it says, how fitting that the tale will be told in a music bound up with the meaning of Chicago jazz. Now, just in that short sentence, there's a lot that we can learn. First, when we talk about something being fitting, that it goes well together, right? It's something that works well.
It does. It's very suitable. It's something that will go together exactly. How fitting.
That's true. Well, it will be told.
Yes. So, in other words, the tale, the story of the reversal of the Chicago River will be told or will be expressed in music.
So when did it happen?
Well, I think it happened just this year. I think it happened a little bit earlier before our magazine has been printed, maybe in the spring.
Right. So we have to remember that this article was previously printed. So we're talking about something that actually happened before. So it has been told. And actually, you can probably look up some music online and find
true.
It.
And it's the music that's bound up. Bound is the past tense for the word bind, which means to tie up or to keep together, usually with some kind of rope or string. But when we express the idea of it's bound up, that means it's completely connected. You cannot separate the two.
Right. So when we think of Chicago, we think of jazz. So jazz is very much a part of what Chicago is about. So it's appropriate that they use jazz to tell the story of Chicago because Chicago is very much about jazz.
That's right. The two are directly strongly connected. They're bound up together.
So let's have a little skit about this now.
What are you reading, Jill?
This is an amazing story about how the flow of the Chicago River was reversed in 1900.
I didn't know about that. Why was the flow of the river reversed?
In the late 1800s, disease and illness was rampant in Chicago. Tanneries and stockyards were dumping their waste into the river.
That sounds awful. I know that there was very little concern for the environment back then.
All of this refuse then flowed into Lake Michigan, which was the source of water for the city's residents.
I imagine that it all created a terrible stench also.
It sure did. Chicago was the center of America's cattle trade back then.
So, how did they achieve this Herculean task?
They dug a huge canal called the Big Ditch and then diverted water into it.
And then it flowed in the opposite direction to the Illinois River?
That's right. And then on to the Mississippi River.
I guess that solved the problem for the people of Chicago.
It did, but it created a mess in other parts of Illinois and further south into Missouri. The stench spread throughout these two states for decades.
My cousins live in Chicago. The next time I visit them, I'm going to ask them about this story and see the Chicago River for myself.
I'll let you borrow the book, and you can pore over all the pictures that show what happened back then.
Thanks for the history lesson, Jill.
You're welcome, Jack.
Well, it's always nice to have a little skit to represent some of the things we've learned. But, you know, as I looked over this lesson, we were thinking about teaching it. I pored over the lesson to see what were the important points of this lesson. And I think, Ruth, you have some important points to tell us.
Well, I thought it was very interesting how usually when we think of history, we think of reading something. We think of looking at a book or a magazine or even a coffee table book full of pictures. But in this case, we're describing a historical event with music. And we learned the fact that this man was commissioned to write this symphony describing this whole event of reversing the Chicago River flow.
Well, if you studied any music in institutions and all, you'd probably find out that a lot of symphonies were commissioned to celebrate certain events, like when the king became the king of the country, or there were certain wars. They all celebrated all that in a lot of musical symphonies, didn't they?
Yes, they did. A lot of works of music were commissioned as a result, or to remember an event, or to commemorate an event.
What do you think about this lesson, Campbell?
Well, I think it's really interesting. I mean, the whole idea of reversing a river and this pivotal event in Chicago history and how they have decided to depict it. And I think it's interesting how it all started with a book. You know, they found these photos and they created this book, and then that inspired the musician to write these stories. And I think I found this idea of reversing this river very interesting, about the idea that, you know, what's beneficial to one is not necessarily beneficial to all. And it's important to think about, well, you know, today I'm going to make this decision. How does that affect other people?
And we have to do that more now as we're in international. We say, guojihua. We think about other people. What we do in our country even affects people in other countries.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's... You don't just think about how it affects you. And, you know, we talked about the words that were opposites. Like, it's triumphant for the people in Chicago because they achieved this great engineering feat, but it's disastrous for the people down the river. We mentioned the fact that St. Louis hate them because they've been dropping their refuse on them for the last century.
Right, yeah.
So now we're trying to think of solutions now that will benefit everybody when we get into more international issues.
Right.
But it's been an interesting thing to study what happened in history and now how it's been depicted in jazz. And it's always good to look back and see how we can improve on things today.
That's right. So I think the important things to remember is you can express your ideas in music, and you need to think about the consequences for not just you, but everybody else.
That's right. So I think it's very interesting to learn from history and to use different ways to do it.
And so be sure that you tune in to Advance and become a lifelong learner with us. And thanks for being with us, Ruth and Campbell.
My pleasure.
Me too.
It's been fun. Have a good day, everyone. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.